jazz was ahead of its time. And I just mentioned to Gene Shepherd, I said, that's the kind of music you used to play back in 1956 and 57 on your show. And he said, yes, and it's still valid. And I think Tony Scott just proved that. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah, we know. It's the Holy Trinity. Nothing personal. See, that's the important thing, though. Again, you know, you keep thinking, what would Lenny have liked? Of course, what Lenny would have liked is to be here. But not having that choice, he was freeform enough that he would have liked everything that happened, including my mumbling on the microphone, including the messenger from heaven, including everything that's happened, including the warmth of the audience. Three of the people who have been the biggest influence on my life, one was a publisher whom I used to work for named Lyle Stewart, whom I'm no longer on speaking terms with. Another was Lenny Bruce, who I'm still on speaking terms with. And the third was Gene Shepherd, whom Allen Ginsberg referred to as, in his poem before, as making sadistic sounds on the radio. Gene, of course, has been critical of Lenny Bruce sometimes on his show, so I'm as interested as anybody to hear what he's going to say here. He was kind enough to tape his show for tonight before he came here so that he could be here. The interesting thing, of course, is that his show tonight is describing what happened here. But that's... Gene Shepherd.
You know, in a kind of a nutty way, I have a very strong feeling that Lenny would have dug this scene, this whole thing. And as a fellow performer and a man who every night has to face an audience with an eye and a drive and a desire to make them laugh, perhaps more than anybody on today's speaking platform, people who are going to talk about Lenny, I possibly understand his life, what he went through, what he felt, what he fought against. You know, it's a very lonely world as a comic, as a performer of this type. And we have an underground. Musicians have an underground. Tony Scott knows anybody who's blown a decent note in the last month, even if he's never met him. I know this. Peculiar thing. And so it is between us. And I had never known Lenny Bruce at all. I was working quietly away in New York City. And one night I got a call from this guy. First time I ever heard the name Lenny Bruce. He says, man, he's Lenny Bruce. And I said, yeah. Tell me another, you know. He said, I'm a comic. I said, yeah. He said, I want to tell you. He says, I dig one of your bits. You see, it's two comics talking on a professional level. You won't hear much of this today because people here are going to talk about Bruce as a person. I'm going to talk about him as a professional. And he called and he said, I dig this bit. And I said, what bit is it, Lenny? He says, it's on a record. He says, you got this Elektra record on. He says, Jesus, what a bit. And I said, which one is it, Lenny? I was curious because you can tell a lot about people by what they laugh at. And just the way Paul pointed out that when a comic is working, if he gets the musicians laughing, he knows he's saying something. Well, let me tell you, if you get the comics laughing, you're really scoring. So I wanted to know what Lenny was laughing at. He says, I'll tell you what it is. He says, it's this fun funeral bit. Did you ever hear this bit? It says so much about this afternoon. It's a bit that I did and I recorded about 5 or 6 years ago about a funeral. A showbiz personality has passed into the great beyond. The agent, of course, immediately sees this as a chance to get some space. And so they sell tickets to this fantastic eulogy. They book a rock and roll group, which immediately plugs its records when it gets on. And as they leave through the congregation, five agents leap up and give them gigs in the Catskills. And there he is. He's laid out there, and he's in costume, by the way, the deceased. And he's been lit by Gene Rosenthal. It's beautiful. The makeup has been done by the Westmore Studios. There's music playing behind him. He's playing his last fantastic great scene. And then it's all tape recorded and brought out on an LP by Columbia. It's called Rocky Rocky Live at Forest Lawn. In stereo. Well, when I did it, it was a fantasy. And I thought, you know, this is a fantasy. And that was all there was to it. And then I arrived out in front here today. And, you know, I looked up there and I says, Lenny, no. And I'll tell you, I arrived out front, and in my bit, I said, one of the pieces, I says, that the guy, the one son of a bitch in the entire funeral is the guy that got up and kept hollering, Amen. They'd throw him out, you know, in the showbiz funeral. That's a very bad guy. And I also made one other point in this bit, if I remember it well, and the bit was that the funeral would not appear on the obituary page, but would be covered by the entertainment editor. We've got one from the Post, Jerry Talmer, down here. So I did this thing, and I thought, you know, it was a lot of fun. I had it. I also said that the music, you know, whenever they have a funeral, I can remember my grandmother, when her funeral... I went to it. I was a little kid, see. And the minister is up there, and he says, and now we're going to hear from Sister Agatha. We're going to hear the dearly beloved's most favorite music that she enjoyed all of her life. You son of a bitch point killer. You stick with that cheap little paper of yours. I did this bit, you see, where grandmother, I'm a kid, this is how I got this idea, see, and the minister says, and now we're going to hear the departed's favorite music, and this lady sang, bring in the sheaves, bring in the sheaves, and I thought, you know, that's not true. All of my life, I remember my grandmother standing over the sink, singing, when the monkey wrapped his tail around a flagpole. And I thought, geez, wouldn't it be great if they sang that at the funeral, you know? Put her away in style, the way she really would like to go, you know, with her false teeth laying there in state. And I did that bit. Now, the reason I'm doing this, I'm not here to perform. I'm here to tell you that this is the piece that Lenny particularly enjoyed. Maybe he had premonitions, I don't know. But he and I are both in showbiz. Most of you are audience. And when you're in the world of entertainment, particularly as a comic, you get another view of mankind and people. And I arrived up here at the steps out in front, and there's 1,000 people standing there. And I came about 5 minutes late. And there's a big crowd there, and some kid in the crowd says, Hey, Shep! I turned. You're gonna perform today? I says, no. I says, Lenny Bruce is dead, and this is a eulogy. I'm here to say a few words. He says, yeah, that's what I mean. You're gonna perform? So, wherever Lenny is now, I think he would have enjoyed this immensely. I had great admiration for Bruce, and in a nutty kind of way, he liked my work, and I liked his, and we knew each other for years. And I will always remember Lenny as a superb professional who really cared about his work. And I'll never forget the time that I knew that Lenny was in trouble. You know, when you're performing as a comic, to make people laugh, which is what I do, Mort Saul used to do, and whenever you do this, you know, the terrible death that occurs inside of you when you have just done the best piece you've got in everything you've got, and they just sit and look. It's like that line the Jersey Joe Walcott said. Walcott said, he says, I'll never forget. He says, I walked up to Rocky Marciano. He's wide open. I says, I got the son of a bitch. I hit him upside the jaw. He just smiled. Well, this is... I saw Lenny for about 5 minutes one night. I finished a show, and I went down, and I picked Lenny Bruce, went into the Orpheum. Paul remembers the night very well. He remembers that show. And Lenny was on the stage. And as I went in, people were leaving. Lenny Bruce fans. And I went in and sat down for about 5 minutes, and Lenny wasn't funny. And I knew then that Lenny must be going through a hell that very few of you ever will know, and I doubt whether any of you will ever understand. I'm sorry Lenny's gone. He was great. Thank you.